Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph, that's 26a, and we are 2, 4, 6 lines down in the wide lines. We are unpacking a teaching from Masechet Smachot, a tractate that deals, a tractate of Mishnahs that deals with mourning. And in this case, the tractate is talking about situations in which you tear your clothing in mourning and then are not allowed to repair the tear in the clothes afterwards. So we gave 10 examples. The 6 that we've done so far are one's mother and father, one's parents, one's rabbi who taught him Torah, the nasi of the Jewish people, the Av Beit Din, the head of the Sanhedrin, and Shmuot Ra'ot, evil tidings in which a large number of Jewish people are killed. So now we're going to go on to the next one. Al Birkat Hashem Minalan. If you hear a Jewish person who curses the name of God, what is the source that you are supposed to tear your clothing and that you cannot repair it? Tichtiv, as is written, and we're going to quote a verse here from the second book of Kings, Melachim Bet, chapter Yudchet. And what happens here is the enemy general, Rav Shakeh, says that he is going to conquer Jerusalem. And he says, he blasphemes, he is mecharef umagadef against Hashem. He says, none of the other gods of any of the other people have stopped me from my plundering. And I don't think that your God is going to save Jerusalem either, because I'm gonna capture the city. So this is what he says. Now, according to Tosfot, there is an opinion that Rav Shakeh was actually an apostate Jew, that he was had originally been Jewish, and therefore this counts as a regular Birkat Hashem. Otherwise, it would have been Birkat Hashem by a non-Jew. Or it could be according to the opinion that even Birkat Hashem by a non-Jew counts. But in any case, he is the one who does that. So Rav Shakeh threatens Jerusalem. And after he does that, what happens is this. This is actually chapter 18, verse 37. Vayavo Eliakim ben Chilkiah. Eliakim, the son of Chilkiah, came, Asher al Abayit, Vishevna HaSofer, and Shevna the scribe, Vyoach ben Asaf HaMazkir, and the secretary, Yoach ben Asaf, El Chizkiyahu, they came to Chizkiyahu, these three, to report on what Rav Shakeh had said. And when they came, they were Krue Bigadim. They were wearing torn clothes. In other words, after they heard, what the way the Gemara is going to understand is, after they heard Rav Shakeh blaspheme Hashem's name, they tore their clothes. Vayagidulo, and they told him, Divrei Rav Shakeh, the words of Rav Shakeh. Vayhi kishma ha-melech Chizkiyahu, this is the beginning of the next chapter, chapter 19, when Chizkiyahu heard what they said. Vayikrat bigadav, he tore his clothes. Vayitkas basak, and he covered himself in sackcloth. Vayavo beit Hashem, and he went to the Beit HaMikdash to daven to Hashem. So it quotes the verse here, Vayavo Eliakim ben Chilkiah, Shalabais, Veshevna Sofer, Vyach ben Asaf, Hamazkir, Chizkiyahu, Krue Bigadim. They came with their clothes torn. So what do we learn from this? Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Echad HaShomea, the one who hears the blaspheming, Ve'echad HaShomea mi pi HaShomea, and even the one who hears it from the one who heard it, because Chizkiyahu didn't hear it directly from Rav Shakeh, he heard it from his messengers. Chayav likroa, they are required to tear their clothing. The ha'edim, but the witnesses, einan chayavim likroa, they are not required to tear a second time. Shekfar karu b'shasham, shasham, because they already tore the first time when they heard it. In other words, these three guys, Shevna, Yoach, and Eliakim, they tore when they heard it from Rav Shakeh, but when they reported to Chizkiyahu, they do not have to tear a second time. On the other hand, Chizkiyahu, who heard it secondhand, does have to tear, even though it's only secondhand. Bishah Shamu Mayhave. You're telling me when they heard it, they tore. Hakashami Hashta, but they heard it now too, because it was reported to Chizkiyahu and they had to say it all over again. Lo Sokadatach, don't think that way. Dichtiv, it is written, Vayhi Kishma HaMelech Chizkiyahu, when the king Chizkiyahu heard, Vayikrat Bigadav, and he tore his clothes. HaMelech Kara, that's what it says, the king tore, Vehem Lo Karu, but it does not specify that they tore, so presumably they didn't. Velomit Achin Minalan, and then of course our follow-up question is, okay, we know that they tore their clothes, but how do you know that you can never repair them? Atya Kriya, Kriya. So we learn this from a Gezeres Shava, some kind of a Gezeres Shava based on the word Kriya. Now, we have three examples in Tanakh that we've been talking about that use the language of Kriya. The first one is the case of David, where when Shaul and Yehonatan are killed, it says that David took hold of his clothes, Vayikra'im, and he tore them. The second one is the example of Elisha, who sees Eliyahu go up into the sky, and he tears his clothes. And the third one is the example of Chizkiyahu, which we just mentioned. So the question is, since we're talking about Chizkiyahu here, which of the other two examples are we using as the Gzera Shava? Now, it's not 100% clear, but if we wanted to use the example that to try and prove the point that you can never repair your clothes, presumably you would use the example of Elisha, because there it says Vayikra'im l'shnayim kra'im, that he tore them into two tears, and we derive from the two tears that they have to remain torn in two forever. So that would make the most sense. However, Rashi writes here in his comment, he Midavid, that in fact we learn it from David. And the Marsha suggests that the reason is because it would make more sense to learn from a king Chizkiyahu, from a king David, rather than from a prophet. However, there is an emendation in the Gemara. Many of the Achronim believe that this was a printer's mistake and that really it's supposed to say Elisha. So it is possible that it's either one, but the one that makes the most sense seems to be Elisha. Okay, the next case is Sefer Torah Sheni Sraf, a Torah scroll that becomes burned. Min nalan, how do you know that you're supposed to tear your clothes? Dichtiv, as it is written. Now this is a different story that we haven't encountered yet. This is in Yirmiyahu chapter 36. And in this situation, Yirmiyahu writes a Megillat Sefer. He writes a scroll in which he explains that Hashem is going to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. Now, it could be a scroll that we don't have, because as we'll see, it becomes burned. Or, as the Gemara seems to indicate here, it was he wrote Megillat Echa, which he eventually wrote as a response to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, but here he wrote it as a prophecy. So it could be one of those two. But he wrote the Megillah, and he gave it to his scribe, to Baruch, and eventually it made its way to the king, and the king's scribe read it to the king. So here's what it says. Vayhi ki kro Yehudi, when the king's scribe Yehudi read it, shalosh deltot v'arba, three stanzas and four stanzas. Then yikra'a betar, then the king cut it with a razor, betar hasofer, with a scribe's razor, which is like a letter opener or something like that, but a sharp one. V'ashlech ela eish asher al ha'ach, and he flung it into the fire that was on the hearth. So there's some dispute here about exactly whether or not he threw the whole Megillah in, which it seems to be implied, or if he used the razor to cut out the names of God, the Azkarot, that is Yud Heh Vav Heh, and to throw those into the fire. But in any case, since it is a scroll that is like a Torah scroll, and I guess we're presuming here that it meets the minimum standards of a Torah scroll, that would be maybe 85 letters on cloth, something like that, that was burned, so then you would have to tear one's clothes. But we're not up to that yet. Let's keep going. My shalosh daltot v'arba, what does it mean, three and four stanzas, or dalatot literally means doorways? Amru le Yehoyakim. So what he said to Yehoyakim, who is the king, Katav Yirmiya Sefer Kinot. What Yirmiyahu wrote was a book of lamentations. So sometimes Chazal refer to Echa, which is the first word, as the book of Kinot, the book of lamentations. Amar Luhumaktiv Be, so Yehoyakim, the king, said, okay, so what's written in this book of lamentations, this prophetic book? So he says the first stanza, the first pasuk, says, Echa Yashva Badad, how will Jerusalem sit desolate? Echa Yashva Badad. So Amarlu, he said back to them, Ana Malka, I'm the king, what do I care? And here we learn, as we'll see, we learn something important about kings here, which is that at the end of the day, they don't really care about anything other than holding on to their own power. So he said, okay, so Jerusalem is desolate, I'll still be the king. Amarle, he says, the second verse says, Bachotiv Kabalaila, she will cry in the nighttime. He says, Anamalka, I'll still be the king. Galta Yehudi Meoni, and then Judah will be exiled and in poverty and despair, you know. That's the third verse. He says, Anamalka, I'll still be the king. Darchei Tzion Avilot, the byways of Zion will be desolate and full of mourning. He says, Anamalka, I'll still be the king. He gets to the fifth verse, and the fifth verse, it's alphabetic, so it was Echa, Bacho, Galta, Darchei gets finally to Hey. And it says, Hayutzareha lerosh, those who attacked her will become the leader. Oh, now we've attacked him. Now he can't say, I'll be the king, because what they're basically saying is, you won't be the king. In the fifth verse, now he says, Amar lehu man amra. He says, okay, who is saying, in whose voice are we saying that the conquerors will become the kings? So he continues the verse and says, Ki Hashem hoga al rov pisha eha. That Hashem is the one who said that because of Jerusalem's many transgressions. So as soon as Yehoiakim heard that, miyad, immediately, kadar kol azkarot shabah, he cut out all of the names of God from the scroll, v'sarfan ba'esh, and he burned them in the fire. So in the Yerushalmi version of this story, it doesn't say the azkarot, it just says the scroll. V'hainu dichtiv, and this is what's written, if we continue on in the story, in the verses, v'lo pachadu, v'lo kar'u et bigdehem. The people who heard the reading of the scroll were not afraid, and they didn't tear their clothes. Now, what this basically means is that they didn't accept the prophecy of Yirmiyahu. In other words, they should have heard what Yirmiyahu was saying, and they should have been afraid, and they should have done tshuva. But they blew it off. But because it specifies specifically that they didn't tear their clothes, michlal deba'u lemikra, that seems to indicate that they ought to have torn their clothes. So we're learning from what they didn't do to what they should have done. So since the Sefer Torah was burned and they didn't tear their clothes, we learn that the halacha is that they should have torn their clothes. Amar le Rav Papa l'Abaye, Rav Papa said to Abaye, Imer mishum shmuot haraot. Perhaps you could argue that in this case, this is considered shmuot haraot, because what Yirmiyahu was basically prophesying was that Jerusalem would be destroyed and the Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed, and that would count as shmuot haraot for the rove of the congregation of Israel. Amar Leh, he said back to him, shmuot haraot bahishata mihave. What kind of evil tidings were there at this time? In other words, it hadn't happened yet. Evil tidings are things that have happened already. This is just a prophecy of what was going to happen. However, Rashi does point out, he says an interesting thing, Rashi writes, which is al hagalut ibay lemikra. Perhaps for the exile, they should have torn their clothes. Already at this point, you would have been exiled, so you could argue that that was a good enough, big enough shmuel ra'ot. Perhaps not, because they were only exiled and not killed. I don't know. Okay, Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rav Huna. Rabbi Chelbo said in the name of Rav Huna, Haroa Sefer Torah Shenikra Chayav Likroa Shtei Kriyot. One who sees a Torah scroll. Now the word that we have written here is Shenikra, which is torn, is required to tear two Kriyot. Echad Al Hagvil, one for the parchment, one for the writing. It doesn't seem like the right girsa, and there is, in the Rashash, he changes it to Sefer Torah Shenisraf, a Torah scroll that is burned. And that makes more sense in the context here. If it was a Sefer Torah that was torn, you would either bury it or you would fix it, but you wouldn't have to tear kriya for it. But the chiddush here is that you have to tear twice. You tear once for the parchment and once for the writing. Shenemar, as it says, Acharei Srof HaMelech HaMegillah, we're still in Yirmiyahu chapter 36, after the king burned the Megillah that Yirmiyahu had written, V'et HaDvarim, it says not only the Megillah, which means the parchment, but also the Dvarim, the words, which refers to the writing itself. So from there we learn that you have to tear twice. Rabbi Abba Rav Huna Bar Chiya Havu Yatve. Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna, the son of Chiya, were once sitting. The next few words say Kamed Rabbi Abba, and they were saying that they were sitting in front of Rabbi Abba. Some people change this because Rabbi Abba and it was Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna that were sitting. So was Rabbi Abba sitting in front of Rabbi Abba? That doesn't sound right. Some people, the ghost, Marav Ronsberg writes that, you know, Rabbi Abba was a kind of a common name. So you could have had two different Rabbi Abbas. One was the student and one was the teacher. But the other way to read it is to change the girsa. Instead of kamed Rabbi Abba, instead of they were sitting in front of him, you could say, period, they were sitting there. Kam Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba got up, ba'ala funuye, because he had to go to the bathroom. So he had to, in those days, to go to the bathroom, if you had to defecate, you had to go out of the city, you had to go find a place. So he had to actually get up and go on a little journey to find a place. So he was wearing his tefillin at that time because they wore tefillin all day. So shakle litotafte, he took off his tefillin, and achte abisadya, and he put them on a cushion for when he would get back. While he was gone, and this is kind of a crazy story, but ate batna amita, a ostrich came by. Maybe the person whose house they were sitting in had an ostrich, was a wealthy person, or maybe there was a wild ostrich that wandered by. Anyway, this bat na'amita is the same as what the Torah calls a bat hayana in its listing of birds in Vayikra, which is an ostrich. And ostriches are known to, stick their long necks in and swallow things. Bay lemivle, so he tried to, the ostrich tried to eat the tefillin. When he came back and they told him the story that the ostrich almost ate his tefillin, which is a pretty crazy story, he said, "Ahashta ichayven li shtei kriot." If that had happened, I would have been liable to tear two kriot, because tefillin have, it's not just an actual full Sefer Torah, but any full parsha in it from a Torah would count. And if the ostrich had swallowed his tefillin, he would have had to tear once for the parchment and once for the writing. I don't know exactly why this is the case, because I don't know, maybe they could have killed the ostrich and gotten the tefillin back. It's not exactly the same as if it had gotten burned, but let's assume that it would have been destroyed if the ostrich swallowed it. Amarle, so Rabbi Rav Huna said back to Rabbi Rav Huna Bar Chiya said back to Rabbi Abba, Minalacha, are you sure that this is the case? From where do you know this? Havaha bedide have uvda. The exact same thing happened to me. Now, I don't know if he means the exact same thing that an ostrich tried to swallow his tefillin, but perhaps that he almost lost his tefillin. Va'ate lakame to Rav Matna, and I went in front of Rav Matna to ask the Shaila. Velo havi biyade, and he didn't know the answer. Atil, I don't know why he includes this story, maybe just to make a complete record, hopefully not to embarrass Rav Matna. Atil akame to Rav Yehuda, he came in front of Rav Yehuda, va'amar li hachi, and this is what Rav Yehuda said to me. Amar Shmuel, he said in the name of Shmuel, lo amru, they didn't say that you have to tear for a Sefer Torah Sheni Sraf, Ella bizroa uchamase shahaya, unless it was done by force, like the story that happened there. Like in that situation, the king burned the parchment, and there was nothing anyone could do. In fact, it does say there in Yirmiyahu that they tried to stop him. They told him not to do it. Some people did. I have to look and see who it was. Let's look at Yirmiyahu Lamed Vav to tell you in 1 second. Yeah, it says here that God, that El Natan, Udlayahu, Ugmar Yahu, Hifgiu Bamelech, they protested against the king that they didn't want him to burn the Megillah, and he didn't listen to them. He threw it in anyway. So they had no choice. So in a situation where the Torah is burned against one's will and you have no way of being able to stop it, that's when you tear. But if it happened in a situation like here, it's an accident or it's an animal or whatever happens, then it does not count. And it is similar, has to be similar to the Maaseh Shehaya, to the story that happened in the case of Yirmiyahu and Yehoyakim. Okay, last part of the story, the last part of our section in Masechet Smachot says that Arei Yehuda Minalan, what is the source that we tear our clothes when you see the cities of Judah in their destruction? Dichtiv, as it is written, Vayavo Anashim Mishchem, Mishilo Umishomron, men came from Shchem, from Shiloh and Shomron. This is after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and this is the story of Gedaliah ben Achikam. This is the story of Tzom Gedaliah. So they came from the north of Jerusalem, Shmonim Ish, 80 men, Migulchei Zakan, they had grown beards, Ukruei Begadim, and their toes were, and their clothes were torn, Umid Godedim, and they were cut up, Umincha Levona Biyadim, Lavi Beit Hashem, etc., and they were bringing a tribute to the Beit HaMikdash. So in this, at this time, the cities of, this can't be after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, it must be right before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. No, I take it back. I was right the first time. This is the story of Gedaliah ben Achikam. It's actually the day in which he was murdered. So it's after the destruction of Beit HaMikdash. But they had seen the cities of Judah destroyed. And so by the time they got to Yerushalayim, their clothes were already torn, which is how we learn that you're supposed to tear your clothes when you see the cities of Judah in their destruction. Amar Rabbi Chelbo Amar Ula Bira. Rabbi Chelbo said in the name of Rav Ula from Bira'a, Amar Rabbi Elazar, who said the name of Rabbi Elazar. And this is a halacha l'maisa. This is the source for the halacha that we tear our clothing when we see the kotel. So here's what it says. Haro'eh are Yehuda b'chorbanan, one who sees the cities of Judah in their destruction, should say, and there's a dispute as to whether or not you should still, whether or not we still paskin this way for Are Yehuda or not. That's a topic for another time. But you would quote this verse from Yeshayahu Samech Dalet, the 64th chapter of Yeshayahu, in which the prophet is speaking to Hashem and telling him, you've brought so much destruction on the Jewish people. Isn't this enough? Aren't you satisfied with everything that you've done? Can you stop destroying us? So he says, Are Kachacha Hayu Midbar, the cities of your holiness have become deserts. That's referring to the cities of Judah. Vikorea, and you tear. Then when you see Yerushalayim, this is assuming you're coming from the north to the south, then you approach Yerushalayim, Bechorbana, you see Jerusalem in its destruction, in her destruction, Omer, and you say, Tzion Midbar Hayata, Zion has become a desert, Yerushalayim Shmama, and Jerusalem is desolate. Vikorea, and you tear a second time. Then you see the Beit HaMikdash b'chorbano, you see the destroyed temple, and you say, Beit Kodshenu v'tifartenu, the house of our holiness and our glory, asher hilulucha avotenu, that our forefathers praised, hayali srefat esh, has become a burning ember, v'chol machmadenu hayali chorba, and all of our delight has become ruined, v'koreya, and you tear a third time. So each of these situations, both for the cities of Judah, for Jerusalem and for the Beit HaMikdash, you tear, and you tear. You can tear three separate times. So we just go on a couple more lines. Korea al Mikdash. The end of the teaching taught us Korea al Mikdash. If you tore for the Beit HaMikdash, umosif al Yerushalayim. Then when you see Jerusalem, you can just add on to the tear that you'd already made. You just add on a little bit more. And we paskin. We'll see in another daf or so that you just add on a kol shehu. You just add on a little bit extra tear. Uraminhu, but there's a contradiction here. Echad hashomea ve'echad haroa, one who hears and one who sees. Kevan shigia litzofim, once you get to Mount Scopus, korea, you tear. V'korea al mikdash bifnei atzmo, v'al Yerushalayim bifnei atzmo, that you're supposed to make two separate tears, one for the Beit HaMikdash and one for Jerusalem. But here you said that you can tear first and then just add on a kol shehu for the second one. Lo kasha, it's no problem. There's no contradiction here. There are two different circumstances. Ha depaga b'mikdash b'resha. The first case, the case that we were talking about, was where you encountered the Beit HaMikdash first. So when you encounter the Beit HaMikdash first, you tore for the Beit HaMikdash, and then when you see Yerushalayim, you can just add on a little extra bit of a tear for Yerushalayim. Ha depagab Yerushalayim bereisha. But if you got to Yerushalayim first and you tore for Yerushalayim, when you see the Beit HaMikdash, you have to make a whole separate tear because the tearing for the Beit HaMikdash is a more profound or serious level, so it requires its own tear. That takes us to the bottom of the Amud, just about one line up from the bottom of the Amud. We'll stop there. Have a wonderful day.